Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. It is Maggie and Perloff. Welcome into the Monday after Super Wild Card Weekend. Although still one more game tonight. You got Cardinals and Rams, and we'll get you set for that game with a couple player props and some other fun stuff later on in the show.
Yeah, do we really need this Monday night game? There was considerable debate on Twitter. Mm. Some people thought it was overkill, and everybody thought, oh no, both number seven seeds and each conference got blown away. Do we need the extra playoff seed? So a lot of people are looking at gift horse in the mouth. I say more football. Great.
Yeah, I mean, not just because it's our profession and it helps us personally, but I didn't mind it. You know, yeah, we got a couple blowout games that we're going to get to, your Philadelphia Eagles not holding up their end of the bargain in just a minute. But, you know, just a couple calls and kicks and timeouts the other way, and we actually could have had Bengals Chargers, which probably would have been maybe a bit of a better game. Maybe you don't have the Steelers. You know, that could have been, that could have gone different ways here. So I'm not ready to say, oh, expanded playoffs was, you know, just a watered down product and money grab. Let's wait it out. Let's give it a couple of years. We might end up getting some better
you know,
game.
Now that you mention it, that would have been amazing. Bengals Chargers, Burrow versus Herbert.
Of course. I know.
Oh man, now I'm even more disappointed.
Well, that's why, I mean, Brandon Staley was catching strays all over the place yesterday, even though his team wasn't even playing.
Oh, that's like when the Eagles, a wide receiver, Jalen Reagor, does something bad, everyone starts tweeting about Justin Jefferson.
Yes. Because
trends on Twitter. So Brandon Staley was trending yesterday?
Because I believe he was. And in some states, I believe he was yesterday.
Oh, man. Big Ben's arm and Justin Herbert's arm right now is the exact opposite.
Yes, that's true. You can't get two more opposite quarterbacks. And also, in terms of teams I want to watch, no disrespect, T.J. Watt, that Steelers defense, Micah Fitzpatrick, but I don't want to watch any part of the Steelers.
Yeah, Big Ben, a Hall of Fame quarterback, looked like when a wide receiver is throwing the ball. He was just throwing lollipops like 50 feet in
yes.
the air to nobody in particular.
Welcome to the season. Nobody wanted the Steelers and Big Ben and the farewell tour that just won't end. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We're going to go against the grain, but can I take a call first?
Sure.
Let's go to Sean. He's in Oregon because he's got some superstitions he wants to tell us about. What's up, Sean?
Well, you can't talk about superstitions. I can't talk about them because I might as well tell someone what my weakness is.
Mm.
And, you know, Steeler Nations, we're the biggest fans out there, so don't say nobody wanted to see the Steelers. And I want to say...
Sorry, outside of Pittsburgh, Sean, you could hear the Steelers last night in Arrowhead, and that is a notoriously tough place to play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and outside Pittsburgh, Steeler Nation travels well.
It's
we
true.
Show up better than the home fans do.
But even,
and I want to say,
didn't you even get a little sick of the Roethlisberger farewell tour? We got it 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I know. I don't like goodbyes, but it was a nice long goodbye. It was a farewell tour.
Yes, usually the long goodbye is not usually a good thing. What else is on your mind, Sean?
Well, I want to say welcome to Oregon. This is the first day I've heard you guys here.
Wait, is this Sean Mannion, by the way? I just want to make sure.
No.
Oregon State quarterback, close personal friend. Are you a fan of Sean Mannion, I hope, if you're in Oregon?
Sure. Yeah, I support all the teams. I support Ducks, Beavers. It's good to see anybody do good.
What town are you? What town are you in?
I live outside Portland in a small town called Sandy, Oregon, on the way to Mount Hood.
Beautiful.
You know my Oregon story, right? And
what do you got?
You know that my uncle filed Al Bagwan Rosh Nisha lives in Oregon.
Yes.
The Wild Wild West documentary. Sean, are you aware of this? This cult?
I visited Rajneesh Param one time. I was over there at Eastern Oregon on a fishing trip. And my friend said, let's go over and see the Rajneesh, the Bhagwan.
Yeah.
And we actually went over there and spent a day. They gave us a tour of the place. That was a real trip.
Wait, hold on one second, Sean. Wait on hold for a second. You might be confusing people because I don't know how ubiquitous this is. Now, I only know about this because I watched, was on Netflix?
Yeah, it was a documentary called Wild Wild West about a cult in the 1970s in Oregon led by a figure named the Bhagwan.
Right.
And
who was like riding around in like Rolls Royces and stuff while he was like preaching to everyone to kind of like give them their money. It was classic cult stuff, really.
Yeah, yeah. Sean obviously donated a little bit. He had 77 Rolls Royces or something.
Oh, and right.
It was a kind of a free love cult, and it was a big deal. This is an amazing documentary, and actually the documentary makers went on to make this incredible series of sports documentaries, which I also suggest checking out. Now, it sounds like Sean, by the way, spent a day out with the Bhagwan. He might be part of the
thing. Do they still exist?
I don't know. Yeah, the cult exists, or the religion, or whatever you want to call it, exists in some form, but he's long gone.
Wow. It was a wild documentary. All right, Sean, what do you got on blue cheese dressing?
You can't beat the homemade blue cheese.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can always go to a restaurant or any place and you can tell when it's not homemade blue cheese. It's like watered down blue cheese.
Oh, man. Preaching to the choir. Sean, thanks for the call. That was a memorable one. And who goes from the Bhagwan to blue cheese? The Maggie and Perloff show.
I refuse to give you credit. What are you adding besides? What's the other ingredients? It's not like have a family recipe that goes on from generation. All you're doing is mixing blue cheese into mayonnaise or something, right?
And there's other stuff in there. You got a little garlic, little Worcestershire.
Okay. Ooh.
Worcestershire? Whatever. You know what I mean. The brown stuff. Thank you, Stu. We're going to saute stew in the Worcestershire.
Oh, right. We got a lot of reaction last week. My mom said, hey, what's
a
that
lot
stuff?
Of reaction. My mom said,
yeah.
Yes.
My mom, yeah, I know. Our reaction is our mother's reaction to the show. Said that part where you and Maggie talked about fleeing from the apocalypse was funny, but she goes, but I'm a little worried about you. You didn't sound like you had a solid plan. And I'm like, yeah, mom, you don't even know the half of it.
If eating stew is your plan, I think we got to go with a plan B here. That's like as good a plan as Mike McCarthy had yesterday at the end of the game.
Yeah, stew with homemade blue cheese sauce. That was delicious.
Really anything with homemade blue cheese. What were we talking about?
We're going to go against the grain.
Yes, thank you.
Against the grain.
You know why we're doing this? Because somebody out there in America has to stick up for Jalen Hurts, besides his mom. Basically, the whole world's coming down on my guy. What's this about, Maggie?
Well, when you lose that way in a playoff game, you're going to get roasted.
All right, here's my against the grain. Quarterbacks get too much credit when they win and too much blame when they lose. That's true. You have to admit.
Yeah, no, that's with the grain.
Okay. Many reasons the Eagles were blown out by the Bucs, but nobody's caring. Everyone is talking about Jalen Hurts, and he was bad. The game was moving about 10 times the speed for him that he was used to. I don't blame him.
And Shaq Barrett was negative 10 times the speed for everyone watching. That was the game that wouldn't end.
Shaq Barrett, all of a sudden he's healthy and running around like a madman, but don't bury Jalen Hurts. He's 23. Mm. When you were 23, Maggie, did you have it all figured out?
No.
You know who else didn't? Troy Aikman, who is ripping Hurts all day long. When he was 23, he threw 11 touchdowns and 18 interceptions. He had a passer rating of 55.7. He started out terribly. He should give Hurts a pass. Drew Brees, when he was 23, he threw 11 touchdowns and 15 picks. He's the most efficient quarterback ever. He didn't have anything figured out. Tom Brady, when he was 23, was backing up Drew Bledsoe. Mm. Jalen Hurts is already in the Pro Bowl at 23. So all those former quarterbacks.
He's an alternate.
Who's against the grain? Who's against the grain?
All right, sorry. It's got to be factually accurate.
to all the former quarterbacks who ripped Hurts yesterday and to Maggie, I say you go into Tampa and you beat Tom Brady if you're so tough. And don't forget, this was a fully healthy Bucs defense. I don't even know where they came from. The same defense that made Patrick Mahomes look terrible in the Super Bowl. To move on from Hurts is like the kind of whiplash thing that we see bad teams do all the time. If Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson are available, it's a different discussion. But if you're going to upgrade to Gardner Minshew or Jimmy G or some mid-level quarterback, that's ridiculous. Build around Hurts.
All right. Well, you kind of bailed yourself with that caveat there. I mean, that was like a big what if that you sort of snuck in. Like, if Russell Wilson's available, then go get him. If Aaron Rodgers is available. Like, okay, so you love Hurts, but only up to a certain level.
Yeah, to an Aaron Rodgers level.
Well,
that's Aaron Rodgers.
Like, I get it. And Russell Wilson would certainly be an upgrade too.
I have to think long and hard about Russell Wilson, because I don't see an Eagles roster that is ready to win a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson. They have a great offensive line, but their defense has holes all over it. They have one good receiver in Devontae Smith. Quez Watkins is a mystery on every route he runs. You blame Hurts because Watkins is running at a different speed all over the place. Then you have Goddard, who's great, but make key drops in every single game.
And they traded Ertz.
They traded Ertz, which is fine because Goddard's a much better player. Their special teams got outplayed so badly on Sunday.
Wow.
The punter can't even get to 20 yards down the field. It's unbelievable. The biggest problem was this guy, Jalen Reagor. And if you follow Eagles Twitter, they have never hated a player more in the 100 years of the
Aguilar.
Nothing like Jalen Reagor.
You hate every wide receiver except for T.O. And I think you probably hated him at one point until the Super Bowl when he played on a broken leg.
Nope. Jalen Reagor is in a completely different category because they picked him one pick ahead, Justin Jefferson, who's arguably the youngest, most talented receiver in the league.
Yeah, I never had seen the clip until yesterday where the Vikings literally laugh when the Eagles make their pick.
Yes.
They're in the Vikings war room during the draft. And the Eagles take Jalen Reagor and they go, ha, ha, and they start laughing.
So what it appears is the GM is telling the coach, play this guy, even though every time he fields a punt, he gets about minus 7 yards
and
per return.
And he muffed it yesterday, and that was really
He dropped a game-winning touchdown against the Giants in, I think, week 11. Every play he makes, so obviously Eagles Twitter hates him. I hate him. My point is, this is not all about Jalen Hurts. But for some reason, the media today, especially today, is really coming after him. I must have read 5 columns saying he showed on Sunday that he's not ready to be a starter.
I'm with you on that would be premature.
Okay.
But the question is you're sitting out there with those 3 first-round picks.
Okay.
And that's what makes this so interesting and kind of juicy, is because Jalen Hurts was originally drafted to be the backup, right, to Carson Wentz. He was kind of the insurance policy, maybe, or the flyer. He's good to a point. Kind of a little of the same stuff, though, with the Cowboys. Who did they play? You know, he looked really good against teams that were bad. And I don't know if anyone understands what the ceiling is for Jalen Hurts, and that's probably up to him. I mean, Troy Aikman was, you know, just diagramming it out on the broadcast yesterday, which didn't help Hurts, which is just how many open receivers he had. And instead of going for them, he's taking off and running. Now, that can be fixed, no doubt. But, you know, is he going to be able to fix it?
Well, I thought Troy was a little harsh because some of those were Nick Sirianni's short pass plays. And that's what Sirianni does. And yeah, of course he had Devontae Smith open when you look back on it. But then in the second and third quarter, he just missed everybody by a yard. He was completely inaccurate. I think he got rattled, but that happened
totally
to your first
overwhelmed.
Club.
Oh, my gosh.
He's 23. He has not had a lot of games. He's had about 18 starts.
Yeah, and like the NFL is littered with quarterbacks who went into their first playoff game and totally bleeped the bed. You know, I mean, Josh Allen did it in Houston. I remember Eli Manning is a very famous example. They made the playoffs and he threw through 3 picks against Carolina at home. They lost. I mean, I could go up and down.
Well, you just made my day. I didn't realize Josh Allen had a bad playoff game.
Oh, yeah. Remember, they blew it in Houston to Deshaun Watson. That was a terrible, terrible game for them. And he was making plays that were so stupid. But anyway. This is my thing about the Eagles yesterday. Nobody was expecting them to win. You and I didn't even expect them to cover. Meanwhile, you're asking me if I would ever bet against my own team. You were fine laying the 8.5 with the Bucks.
You
were
easy
running
money
to FanDuel. But anyway, so I don't think anyone was expecting that. I think what was interesting was, well, a couple things about the Bucks. Man, it's like they didn't even have close to all of their weapons.
Nope.
And that looked pretty easy. You know, Brady maybe missed a couple throws in the first quarter, maybe, and then they just got rolling. And I saw a tweet where Mike Evans was asked, you know, who's the team that he wants to face next? Because we're not sure if he's going to face the Cardinals or the Rams. And he said, whatever team's going to play me man-to-man. Like, Evans is feeling it. And the Eagles were playing him a little too much man-to-man yesterday. And it was like when, you know, Gronkowski was covered, they were just going to Evans. And Brady's just got, you know, embarrassment of riches. Even when he doesn't have the embarrassment of riches, he makes these guys look so good. The run game was able to go with Giovanni Bernard and Vaughn. It's like, all right, fine, you don't have playoff Lenny and you don't have Ronald Jones, and here you are with a running game that completely complements Brady.
And Giovanni Bernard, man, that made a difference. He is a lot better than Ronald Jones as a third down back. You're right, it's gonna be a hot take here. It's Brady. Is it Tom Brady?
Yes, your system QB.
Although there were a couple of receivers who screwed up and got chewed out by Brady.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. He was dialed in. I mean, I saw people tweeting, when are you going to take Brady out of the game? I was like, when the clock hits zero.
And, you know, the Eagles made it 31-15. They were really two scores away, so they had to keep Brady in. I want to see Fournette in the next round. I want to see last year's playoff Lenny. So even without him, I do worry a little bit that the Eagles' defense was sort of perfectly set up for Tom Brady because they have a sort of laid-back, bend-don't-break philosophy. Why would you do that against Tom Brady? They didn't get him off his spot once.
No, and he was lying again when he said that this is going to be the hardest game of the year, and he just oops-a-dooped
him. Oh, my God.
When he said to the media, that was the 90% of the time he lies. He said it.
90%
of the time.
I didn't really appreciate your text when you said, where is that bad weather? I was counting on that bad weather to even the playing field.
No, you're like, this is bad. I was like, maybe that bad weather will roll in. Meanwhile, it's like, oh, and Brady just scored another touchdown. It's like, those gale-forced winds never really showed up, huh?
No, the Eagles' vaunted running game.
It was, beautiful.
Yeah.
It looked gorgeous in Tampa.
It didn't matter. The Eagles' running game went the exact wrong direction from the get-go of the game. They didn't go anywhere. They didn't run at all. And people said the Bucs have a great run defense, which is a big factor for whoever they play next, but that was bad. But I don't feel bad. I'd rather lose that way than lose the way the Bills are going to lose on this weekend to the Chiefs.
You're serious. Wearing red.
There's no expectations at all. This is such a do-or-die playoffs for Buffalo. There's a lot more stress on you.
Oh, man. You're right.
Sorry.
I'm so stressed out. It's only Monday. How am I going to make it through the week? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That's the number to call to get involved with the show. There's one more. I absolutely despise when coaches do the one thing that a coach did yesterday. We'll tell you who we're talking about and what they did that violated every rule, unwritten rule in the book. It's Maggie and Perloff. Hanging out with you on this Monday. Don't move.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right. Back on Maggie and Perloff, chilling out here on CBS Sports Radio. This is one of your rejoins, right? Who is this?
This is a classic Mace.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, this is Mace. What do you want?
90s rap?
This is my high school.
Wow.
I don't know how you avoided this.
Did you see the Cool Modi 90s rap report card where Lauryn Hill got an A+ and and Master P got a C minus, and all the New York guys. Anyway, Mace to you would have been an A, I assume, based on your demographic.
Just hit after hit after hit.
Yeah, I wonder where he is now. He's somewhere in Atlanta, right? Yeah, in Atlanta. Yeah. Okay, back to the NFL here. Did you notice, Maggie, maybe on Twitter or Instagram, there was some criticism of the officials this weekend?
No.
Yeah,
nothing.
No. I mean, usually we give them a pass on everything, but it was basically 48 hours of ripping the guys in stripes. And to me, the most egregious mistake all weekend was in the Raiders Bengals.
Oh, without a doubt. And this is such a terrible way for the NFL to kick off their Super Wild Card weekend. And it was even in the first half of the first game, you had the whistle that seemed clear as a bell to everybody who was listening on that amazing Joe Burrow to Tyler Boyd touchdown. And it was like, this whistle happened. I thought he ran out of bounds.
Right.
But basically the Raiders stopped playing. And all of a sudden, here comes Jerome Boger and his crew signaling touchdown. If I were Rich Bisacci, I would have totally lost it.
Well, you say it's terrible for the NFL. I don't know that bad officiating is terrible for the NFL, because the more you see of it, the higher the ratings are. It gives us something to discuss. It's hard to call the game in real time. I mean, there's mistakes throughout the history of the league. I don't know what the whistle was about. I kind of disagree with you. I don't think the Raiders quitting affected that touchdown. That guy was, the Raiders' defensive back was kind of beat. I'm not sure if that whistle hadn't blown if they wouldn't have scored anyway. So does it make a difference ultimately?
I thought it did. I mean, to me, it looked like they had stopped playing. And I definitely thought it seemed like they had stopped. And I also thought that the explanation after the fact was totally bogus. They said afterwards, and Jerome Boger's crew said after the fact, that they thought the whistle blew after the touchdown had been caught in the end zone. That's just not true.
That makes no sense.
That makes no sense. And like NBC finally got around to addressing it on the broadcast. It kind of seemed like they were going to gloss over it.
Oh, yeah.
And then
Drew Brees did not exactly distinguish himself with his commentary there.
Well, the funny thing about that is like Drew Brees is on the wrong side of one of the ultimate screw jobs in NFL playoff history. And like, I know that, you know, that one call is not maybe the reason that they lost the game. Obviously, you have a million plays that happened before that. But I would have loved to have known what Drew was thinking from that unique perspective. Now, granted, it was the first half. We still had a lot of football left to go. And the Raiders ended up making it a game, partially because, you know, the Bengals were kicking a lot of field goals. And the Raiders, you know, red zone defense was doing a really good job of holding up and keeping that game closer than it probably should have been. But I would really wanted to hear more of Brees. Like, how do you get past that?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, that Saints team was going to the Super Bowl. Yeah. That's a different situation.
Against the Rams that ended up losing to
the
Patriots.
Yeah, I don't think the winner of this game, Cincinnati and the Raiders, was going anywhere. But your point is accurate. Brees definitely could have offered more. The thing to me about this, I'm not sure
the officials could have gotten it right. You got extra officials on the field. You got support from New York. You got 1,000 eyes on this thing.
Wait, so you're saying they should have taken back the touchdown?
I think they should have looked at it and see when the whistle.
Whistle was before the.
You're reviewing the play,
right?
And they say that the inadvertent whistle is not reviewable. But when you are reviewing the play, if there is an inadvertent whistle, the play is supposed to be blown dead. You're supposed to replay the down.
But it was a mistake. The whistle.
Right. Inadvertent whistle. Right.
Okay. Yeah. I guess by the letter of the law, but
I didn't understand why that point wasn't reviewable when it's in the whole comprehensive part of you're reviewing the touchdown anyway.
And do you think this is the call that stands out months from now in the offseason, or is it what happened at the end of the Cowboys game where the official had to run in?
I mean, Cowboys, because you know,
even though that official didn't make a mistake in any way, the Cowboys screwed it up because Dak Prescott should have handed it to the official.
No, but if you're asking me what's going to be the more memorable like referee incident of the wild card weekend, it's definitely going to be Cowboys.
I also felt they were a little heavy on holding. There are a lot of big plays that came back. A lot. Remember when Tom Brady in week two of the season tweeted out on Monday, why are you calling so much holding? And all of a sudden, the holding all went away. So they're calling the Cowboys on defensive holding on run plays. How does that even exist?
I love how you're like, they were a little heavy-handed on holding. Like, you're going to write a strongly worded letter to, like, the NFL offices and, like, the office of officiating. Like, dear sirs and madams, a little heavy-handed on the holding, wouldn't you say?
This officiating in general, all the complaining about officiating, this is just a more fuel to the fire of NFL ratings. You think this is bad for them? I don't think so at all. I think they love it. I think the fact that they just inserted a completely new system where New York gets to decide a play before it goes to official replay, without
vetting it with anybody. But where was that during the whistle call? The inadvertent whistle wasn't there for that. We only found that out later, like in the second half.
I think they thought, well, we can't take that touchdown away from the Bengals. That would be unfair. The inadvertent whistle was a mistake. I understand the letter of the law, but still, why would you have taken it away? It was a touchdown. I don't think number 25 on the Raiders was going to get there anyway.
It was ticky-tack, but we've seen the NFL reverse calls that are ticky-tack 100 different times, and it's totally just been, you know, it's altered the game. And anyone who had the Raiders plus the 5.5, you know what I'm talking about.
And also, they have this roughing the quarterback thing. They did not calm down on those bad calls. There were some terrible
roughing the passers. You're so right about that. So, you know, I mentioned Rich Bisaccia didn't really go nuts over that call, and actually really took the high road at halftime as well when he was asked about it by NBC. And, you know, he basically said, we just got to put it past us. And, you know, I think that's the right thing to do for a head coach. At that point, you can't get caught up in the calls. You actually were, you know, you made this a game and you came back. I think the big question is whether Rich Bisaccia did a good enough job to keep his job, you know. And I thought that he was going to have to win this game in order to keep the job. And I'm still thinking that way. The one thing that I think may have changed, Derek Carr, I thought was really poised to have like a really big game here. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, he ends up throwing the interception on the 4th and goal. I mean, they were there. Like, you wonder just if Zay Jones had somehow caught that ball. It was a little short of the goal line, actually. But, you know, I really just felt like I wanted this more for Derek Carr to kind of put an exclamation point on this season for the Raiders. And it just wasn't to be. And I can't help but think that Carr, for me, like, better in theory than in practice, and someone who I was really on, like, hey, this guy's going to have a late career surge here, like in his 30s, and become one of the great stories here in the NFL. And what happened was he had a game that, unfortunately for Raiders fans, we've seen Derek Carr have far too often.
When you said late career resurgence, do you mean somewhere else, like with the Giants, or do you mean in Vegas?
I thought in Vegas. Like, I think if they win this game and they go on like that, it's okay, no brainer. You know, he's got 1 year left on his contract. We give him the contract extension. He's our guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that future is so set in stone for him in Vegas anymore.
So with Rich Bisaccia, I saw this list of some other interim coaches who got the full-time job. Kansas City with Romeo Crennel. Did not work out.
No.
Freddie Kitchens with Cleveland really didn't work out. There's other guys on here. Leslie Frazier went from interim to full-time and didn't work out. Tom Cable did it. Let's see. Mike Singletary did it. It's not a formula for success. And I think one and done in the playoffs. Right now, the Vegas favorite to take that job is Jim Harbaugh. I don't think Mark Davis is sold on Rich Bisaccia, not by a mile.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's sneak in a phone call quickly. It's Joe in Omaha. You're up here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Joe?
Hi, Maggie. The artist formerly known as McLovin. I hope you both have a good Martin Luther King Day. I was just calling. I am a lifelong Cowboys fan in Nebraska. I know I'm in Chiefs country, but in any event, my thought is, just as far as the coaching is concerned, my biggest takeaway from yesterday is the reaction from the players to the officiating. A lot of the penalties and different happenings in the game were self-inflicted wounds. And then my biggest concern is Dak's takeaway from all of that in terms of finding out that he was told that fans were throwing debris at the officials. And then once he found that out, he said, well, good on them for doing that. And I think that's kind of a poor loser mentality. And I think that that's part of the problem with the Cowboys franchise. And that comes from the coaching and the ability to allow your players to have that sort of attitude. I want them to have accountability, and I want them to want to get better and fix those mistakes. But then to come and say, oh, it's a good idea for fans to be throwing debris at referees, I think that's kind of a Bush League take.
I hear you. I can't get there with you, but I hear you. Like, I'm not going to draw a straight line to the Cowboys having all these pre-snap penalties and being undisciplined somehow means that they're not having accountability or something, and that somehow leads to, like, Dak saying, you know, kind of signing off on fans throwing debris at the referees. I don't know. I I can't get there. I don't see them as anywhere near the same thing.
I will tell you one thing. I know the media, and there's nothing the media likes more than criticizing fans who throw things onto the field. This one's going to stick with Dak for a while. I mean, I think NFL writers are going to bring this up anytime he throws an interception for years. They love to be on the soapbox and say fans are ridiculous. And of course fans are ridiculous. I don't even think it needs to be pointed out that you're not supposed to throw things at other people. But I saw so many tweets saying, oh my God, look at these irresponsible fans. And like all the Philly fans were like, hold my beer. You know, we've done this. And I think this could be a big deal for Dak in the media's opinion. I don't know if the public cares.
No, I think everyone was so stunned by how the game ended and didn't know what to do with their frustration. And because it's a sporting event and that doesn't necessarily bring out people's best behavior, you know, they threw some things onto the field. I'm not going to be like so pearl-clutching about that, but Dak can fix this with one quick apology. We've hit the bottom of the hour. We've got someone to apologize, Rich Ackerman. We're a little bit late to the CBS Sports Update. Take it away, Rich.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right now at the Home Depot, enjoy savings on top-rated appliances online, in stores, or at the Home Depot app. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. U.S. only, while supplies last, ends January 26, 2022. This week's player is Luka Doncic in Friday's 112-85 win over the Grizzlies. Luka recorded a triple-double as Dallas snapped Memphis's 11-game win streak. There have now been 80 triple-doubles in Mavericks history, and Luka has 40 of them. Wow. We're Maggie and Perloff coming back to you with a very, very popular segment that we've tried once.
According to who?
Let's get into it because I liked it.
Okay, so yesterday was it yesterday on Twitter? Must have been yesterday. There was a photo that got tweeted out of Rich Bisaccia, as we were just talking about whether or not he's done enough to keep the Raiders job. There was a photo of him in his hotel room, presumably, writing thank you notes, handwritten, to all of his players. And I was like, oh, please God, no. Because I knew as soon as not only our producer Mike, but my co-host Andrew, as soon as they saw this, they're like, oh, let's do thank you notes again.
Yes, thank you notes. Yeah. It worked for Jimmy Fallon. It's going to work for us, Maggie. Right. Just give it time.
Okay. Well, sure. This to me is the biggest failure of a segment we've done to date. Let's hear a little of what it sounded like the last time around.
Dear Chris, thank you very much for your gift of a first round pick. I hope you enjoyed your experience with Carson Wentz. He's a handful, LOL.
Very long letter.
Yeah, that went
on
a little
longer. That's
when
you have to go to the back page and you got to put that arrow so that someone knows to turn it around to the back.
Yes, see, Fallon would have been out. He would have been out about three sentences in. I apologize.
That was like a thank you manifesto. All right, my final one. Thank you, Tom Brady. I know I've made over $70 million on the field, not counting the money from my Gronk cruise, a.k.a. the Aguaholic. I knew I was going to botch that. The Aguaholic. Yeah, this segment is going down.
All right, I will wrap up this award-winning segment. I don't know what award it's going to win.
I don't know. Yeah, that was even worse than I remember. I didn't even think it was possible to already have PTSD from a show that's only 2 weeks old, but that is it. That's it right there. That was bad.
That was hysterical. That's comedy, Maggie.
Yeah.
What was that word that you tripped up on?
I was going to call Gronk's party cruise the Aguaholic, and I botched it.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
It's too late. The joke's already ruined. So this is what you want to do again. Yeah. Just because Rich Bisaccia happened to write thank you notes, which, by the way, like coaches have done before.
Where do you think he got that idea from?
I know like three coaches who have done that before.
Who's he writing a thank you note to again?
All of his team.
Like each player?
Yeah, apparently.
Even like the practice squad guys.
I mean, he's got a lot of time on his hands now. They're not playing anymore.
Okay. Well, I think this is a perfect reason to get back to thank you notes. I'm so excited.
All right. You want to kick us off?
Nope. All right. I'll kick us off.
All right.
All right.
This is your idea.
So all the losing coaches write thank you notes.
Okay.
I'm going to start off with the hardest one. Mike McCarthy, Dallas Cowboys coach.
All right.
Guess who I'm writing the thank you note to?
All of Cowboys Nation?
No.
For sticking with them, even though this team was flawed?
Cowboys, no. Thank you to Jerry for being a friend. Isn't that ultimately what this business comes down to, Jerry? Friendship. Having pillow fights late at night during our interviews. Not how much time it takes to run up to the line and spike the ball. Friends don't care about stuff like that. They don't care about 14 penalties. Friends overlook stuff like losing. That's why you had Jason Garrett for a decade, and that's why I hope our friendship continues to blossom in Dallas, win or lose.
Yours, comma, Mike.
Mike.
This segment sucks.
He's going to hand deliver it in his cashmere coat and his little hat. All right, save us. Let's see what you got.
I'm not saving us. I think the segment stinks. You made me do it. All right, we're doing losing coaches are writing thank you notes. So mine's Bill Belichick is writing a thank you note.
Doesn't really sound like Bill unless it's...
No, but this sounds like Bill. Dear loser coaches all over the NFL, you should be thanking me for everything. Since I lost to the Bills, it's now made it fashionable for all of you losers. Sincerely, Bill Belichick. The segment sucks. I'm watching my career go down the drain.
So you tried brevity. You tried to get in and out.
Because I don't want to do this. This is why.
Well, maybe if you hear Eagles coach Nick Sirianni, that'll change your mind.
Please. Yeah, let's hear.
Dear Mike and Paul and Carson. He's writing out multiple thank you letters. Oh, this is awful. He's thanking Mike. Should I even continue?
Thank you, Mike McCarthy.
Oh, thank you, Carson Wentz. Thank you, New York Giants. Thank you, Daniel Snyder and the Washington football team. Because we play in the NFC East, first of all, we made the playoffs. Second of all, you're much bigger disasters than we are. Ultimately, I want to thank Paul Tagliabue because he's the one who set up the NFC East in 2001, took the Cardinals, or a better team, out of there, and now we sit here 9-8 and in the playoffs. Oh, my God. That made no sense. That was completely incoherent.
For a second, I was like, Paul? Who's Paul?
Paul Tagliabue.
Forgive me. He's not exactly in the news a lot.
Do you know what year they set up the divisional alignments?
Thanks to you, I do.
2001, when the Texans came back. All right. Save this, Maggie. Give us one. Take us out strong.
I can't. This is so bad, and I'm not going to make it any better. But thankfully, this is the final one. From Mike Tomlin. Thank you, never-ending Ben Roethlisberger goodbye tour. Because this was drawn out for 3 excruciating weeks, somehow getting blown out by the Chiefs for the second time became quaint. Also making the Steelers masking that the Steelers have been to 1 AFC Championship game in the last 11 years. Your friend, Mike Tomlin.
You ruined the segment by setting up low expectations. You got in my head.
No, believe me, the expectations couldn't have been lower. It's the delivery and the output that match those low expectations. We're supposed to sell low and like over deliver, and this segment under delivers.
See,
it's over.
If we had the right head coach who maybe played an inspirational video to get us fired up, maybe that segment would have worked better.
Yeah, see, that's where you really lose me with Nick Sirianni. Like, forget the thank you notes and all of that. I couldn't believe it, and I had to text you because when I heard the sideline report, I believe it was Aaron Andrews who had it during the Eagles game yesterday, Eagles-Bucks game, that Nick Sirianni, head coach of the Eagles, played an inspirational Rocky clip before your game.
Yes, let's go.
I mean, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Okay, it's one thing if you are in Philadelphia, which is so known for Rocky, and you're hanging on to that, good for you. But there's one thing where you do that for the fans, and it gets the fans fired up. To actually play a clip from Rocky, unironically, to your own team before a game is the least original idea I've ever heard. How could you not roll your eyes if you were one of the Eagles players? Like, seriously, the guy who coaches the Eagles is going to play a scene from Rocky? You got to be kidding.
But we're talking about Rocky II, the scene. I mean, I don't care how many times you've heard it or how much a cliche. Can we play it and you tell me you're not fired up to beat Tom Brady after this plays?
One thing I want you to do for me.
What?
Come here.
What?
Win.
Win.
What are we waiting for? Take this!
Come
If I had known that Nick Sirianni was going to play that clip, I would have bet on the Eagles before. What is wrong with playing a hype video? All sorts of teams do that.
No,
because it's been played too many times?
No. It's not about any old hype video. You're actually going to play some Rocky hype video for Philadelphia athletes. Like that to me, it's so cliched. And so, like, oh my goodness, you don't think that this has been thought up a million times? You said they play it at every sporting event. So that's for the fans. That's for you guys. That's for everybody who loves coming to the games. Behind the scenes, that you can't do that. It's so unoriginal.
So you're telling me in the Patriots locker room, they don't play a scene from Good Will Hunting before?
Yeah, that's right.
How about them
it's
apples?
It's not your fault, Will. It's not your fault.
I thought this was a thing. I don't know, like New York. What's a New York clip? Saturday Night Fever or something? I think this is like, I watch a movie and I get fired up. And like when I was back in many years ago when I was an athlete, I would have a rap mix before a basketball game and it would get me all fired up to play. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, having music that you like to hear, but you didn't also wedge in all these clips from movies in it, did you? And here's the thing. It's actually not that. The hype video thing I have no problem with if you want to do that behind the scenes. And I think athletes do actually get inspiration from it. It's just, if you're in Philly, you can't show your players stuff from Rocky. It's so cliched and stupid. The one thing is, he also said that he showed them some, like, a clip from Kobe Bryant addressing the team. Okay, fine.
You Philadelphia want to do
that.
Native.
That is not played out. But the Rocky stuff, I mean, what year did that movie come out, dude?
Oh, man, many years ago, 1978. If I was Nick Sirianni, I think his only mistake was not following up with a clip from Mark Wahlberg in Invincible, running the touchdown
double
back.
Double down. Wow.
Maybe go into the Creed series. I would have played. I would have, forget any game planning. I would have just had a half hour of Philadelphia movies.
You actually just watch the movie. Everyone comes out. They're like all bleary eyed. They've just been eating popcorn and raisinettes.
All Philadelphia movies. Tom Hanks in Philadelphia, Trading Places with Eddie Murphy took place in Philadelphia. Why not? Are there any Buffalo movies? Like
Buffalo 66 didn't have an inspirational moment where someone starts doing one-handed push-ups.
Are there any movies that would fire up the Bills?
No, but I mean, they play Shout every time they score a touchdown. So I wouldn't expect that Sean McDermott's going to play that before they take the field. You want to be like the San Francisco 49ers who come out with that gigantic boombox. Have you seen that guy?
No,
they've
that
been
sounds
doing this
awesome.
For like the last 5 years. They've got a guy who's got a boombox that's like the size of a snowboard, and he holds it right on his shoulder as they all walk out, and they're still doing it.
You know what is kind of funny? Right the night before a game, often coaches bring in inspirational speakers. Yeah. I always wonder when it's like kind of a lame inspirational speaker. like
you and me.
Like, yeah, it's like the AFC Championship game, and we have Trent Dilfer here the night before, who everybody talks to all the time, or like somebody who's been around, or like a Dick Vermeil. I love Dick Vermeil, but I don't think he's getting you fired up. Honestly, you're anti-Nick Sirianni from the start. From his first press conference, you had this guy pegged as kind of an oddball.
Well, it wasn't just me, by the way.
That's very true.
The guy was the like verbal equivalent of running into a brick wall. Like, he just didn't understand. He got lost in his thoughts. And like, as someone who talks for a living, I can be pretty sympathetic to that. But he had just got himself going on such a roll, like, oh, I'm nailing this. And then boom, it was like amazing.
Did you hear our thank you notes? Do we have anything to stand on here?
May the record show, I was staunchly against.
That's true.
Not to jump off the boat here and leave you guys to sink. I am rowing away from that segment.
In all seriousness, do you think it's possible that you overestimate these press conferences? Because you had some issues with Joe Judge's press conference.
Yeah, and he got fired.
Coaches should, you know, we always say in the media, like, we lament that coaches don't say anything in interviews or press conferences. And then when we do, we use it as material to kind of get them fired.
Well, but when it's ridiculous, like Sirianni, who totally lost his train of thought, that was pretty funny. When he also said that he started comparing his team to fertilizer, I mean, I'm not doing anything there. Like, he's doing that to himself. Like, you really are comparing your team to bleep, to poop.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, the jokes are right in themselves. I don't need to add anything to that. And then when he's saying that he was showing his team a clip from Rocky, I mean, if you didn't roll your eyes at that, I have questions for you. That's just so cliched and silly.
And didn't he do something with rock, paper, scissors and draft prospects?
I thought that he was also giving them rock, paper, scissors, right? Like it was like tic-tac-toe and Connect Four and stuff like that.
It's called testing their competitiveness, Maggie.
Yeah, there's no other way to do that.
It kind of works.
Except for Rochambeau.
So what's the approach you like? What do you want your ideal head coach to say in the post-game press conference? Like Kyle Shanahan kind of threw Jimmy Garoppolo under the bus about screwing up that 4th-and-1 last night. Do you want them to be honest? Do you want them to say nothing like Bill Belichick?
I don't mind them being honest. I just also reserve the right to judge them off of it. Like the post-game press conference is one thing. As I said, I like to give a little grace there when you can, because like people are just still in the moment, right? But when it's the pregame stuff, like Nick Sirianni showed up with a Beat Dallas shirt on. The guy had the job for about 5 seconds,
Yes.
And they went to Dallas and lost.
So the Philadelphia coach had a Beat Dallas shirt on and plays Rocky clips. You think this is going to be any kind of problem in Philadelphia? This is going to get him
Philly.
A statue in front of the stadium. I mean, there's a Nick Foles statue in front of the stadium. Nick Sirianni's next if he keeps this up.
I know, and it's brought to you by Bud Light, which I thought was super on brand for Philadelphia.
Classy.
Quickly, Justin is in Kansas. Hi, Justin. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry, I was waiting on hold for a little while.
Yep. You're up now. What's happening?
All right. A lot of things, but love the show. And first of all, I got an issue with Perloff, because I agree with you, Maggie, that we have all been tortured for the last 20 years by the Patriots.
Thank you.
And Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And for you to like gloss over that and not give her her moment, I don't get it, man. I'm like,
yeah, her moment is a Super Bowl. That's got to be her moment. You see how good this team is? Her moment is not a wild card win.
No, listen, baby steps, man. It's like a classic tale. You know, Justin gets it. You got to slay all the dragons, you know, on the way to the top. So first is Belichick. You got to slay that demon. Next up is Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. This is all part of the story. Justin, we only got 30 seconds. What else you got, bud?
Well, I'm a Chiefs fan, so I disagree with that. But
okay. That's where we'll agree to disagree.
But, no, I think going back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Tom Brady, I don't think they want to face the Rams. And you guys can discuss that. But that's the one team I don't think they want to face.
Ah, interesting. All right, Justin, thank you for the call. We will get into Rams-Cardinals later on, and you just gave us something to think about. So we will answer your question coming up in just a little bit. Plus, Mike McCarthy safe in Dallas, but what was the weirdest moment from the Cowboys 49ers yesterday? We've got all of that. Plus, latest on the Raiders. Looks like things are getting a little dicey for their front office. We'll tell you next. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.